Australian news will be restored to the Facebook platform.
Facebook turns the other cheek in Australia. This is VOA Asia. I'm Ira Melman. Remember, you can find us online at VOA Asia Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. Also ahead, we have the latest on the military coup and resulting protest in Myanmar. The nominated U.S. Attorney General says the storming of the Capitol building is his priority. Many Boeing airplanes are grounded after one had an engine fall off. And home movies from Mars. That and more on today's VOA Asia. Global media giant Facebook is restoring news content to its users in Australia after resolving a dispute with the government. Facebook has been in dispute over media regulation proposals. From Sydney, Phil Mercer reports.
Last week, Facebook blocked Australians from sharing and reading news stories on its platform in a dispute with the government in Canberra. It has championed a new media bargaining code that would make Australia the first country to force big tech firms to pay for news content reposted on their platforms. But Facebook's ban on news content in Australia is being reversed after days of negotiation. Analysts say both sides have made concessions. The government has made changes to the legislation. Facebook and Google will be allowed to operate outside the new code if they can satisfy the government that they've struck suitable deals with Australian media companies. Australian Treasurer Josh Frydenberg.
Australian news will be restored to the Facebook platform. And Facebook has committed to entering into good faith negotiations with Australian news media businesses in seeking to reach agreements to pay for content.
Belinda Barnett is a senior lecturer in media and communications at Swinburne University. She hopes the tech firms will act in good faith and negotiate fairly with Australian media companies, big and small.
If we manage to get reasonable deals for all eligible outlets, including rural regional publishers, the ABC and so forth, I think it will be a good thing. Ideally, I'd like to have seen them designate Google and Facebook under the code so that it's directly enforceable.
Google has reached multi-million dollar deals with several major Australian publishers and broadcasters. The legislation has been passed by the lower house of the Australian Parliament and is expected to receive final approval by the upper chamber, the Senate, this week. The progress of Australia's social media laws is reportedly being closely followed in other parts of the world, including Canada and the European Union. Traditional media outlets in Australia have complained that as their advertising revenues have collapsed, social media platforms have benefited from their quality journalism without paying for it. After days of division, Australia and Facebook are, for now at least, friends again. Phil Mercer for VOA News, Sydney.
These are among the top Asia headlines you'll find right now on voanews.com. Hong Kong's chief executive supports a call by a key Chinese official ensuring the legislature is filled with pro-Beijing loyalists. A court orders a pause to the deportation of 1,200 Myanmar migrants. Thousands are evacuated amid floods in Indonesia's West Java. Pakistan is optimistic about progress in the stalemated Afghan peace process. And Germany says China has tried to intimidate Hong Kong residents living in Germany since pro-democracy protests broke out in that city. Expanded coverage of these stories and more are on Facebook at VOA Asia and on the voanews.com website. This is VOA Asia. Protesters in Myanmar took part in yet another day of demonstrations against the country's military junta Tuesday, although in much smaller numbers than the massive turnout in many cities and towns seen the previous day. An angry crowd of demonstrators gathered in front of the Indonesian embassy in Yangon following reports Jakarta is seeking support from other ASEAN countries for a plan that would hold the junta to its promise of new elections within a year. The protesters demanded that Indonesia respect the results of last November's elections, won in a landslide by deposed leader Aung San Suu Kyi's National League for Democracy. The military-run Miyawati News Service reported that junta chief General Ming Aung Hlaing had said the military was following a democratic path and referring to rubber bullets that it wanted to use minimal force. Libby Hogan reports.
Myanmar's military chief has threatened to crack down on any media outlets if they continue to use the word coup to describe the armed forces takeover. That's according to reports by military-run broadcaster Miyawati News on Monday evening, who quoted General Min Aung Hlaing saying that they will take action and withdraw licenses from the media if they use the word coup government. Myanmar's security forces have shown more restraint since the coup compared to previous crackdowns in almost half a century of military rule in the country. Even still, three protesters have been killed and nearly 700 people have been arrested. Monday also saw a nationwide protest and general strike where both local shops and international brands like KFC and delivery service Food Panda closed for the day. From the central plains in the ancient city of Bagan to the largest city, Yangon, tens of thousands gathered to protest against the coup. Some stomped on posters of an alleged Myanmar army sniper. Others waved posters supporting the civil disobedience movement and raised a three-finger salute of resistance, a symbol borrowed from the Hunger Games films. Western leaders have stepped up pressure on military leaders, with the US adding two more generals to a sanctions list on Monday. The EU also said it was considering targeted sanctions on businesses owned by the military.
That was Reuters' Libby Hogan. VOA's United Nations correspondent Margaret Bashir reports the spokesperson for the president of the UN General Assembly announced Tuesday that the Assembly will hold an informal meeting Friday on the situation in Myanmar. Happening now in Asia, Nepal's top court orders the reinstatement of parliament, dealing a blow to the prime minister 2 months after he dissolved the house amid squabbling with the ruling Communist Party. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. We're happy you're with us on VOA Asia. I'm Ira Melman. U.S. Attorney General nominee Judge Merrick Garland told lawmakers Monday an investigation into the January 6th riot at the U.S. Capitol will be his first priority if confirmed. VOA's congressional correspondent Catherine Gibson has more on President Joe Biden's pick to be the nation's top law enforcement officer.
A challenge of unprecedented scope. The nominee for the nation's top law enforcement job vowing a broad investigation into the underlying causes of the January 6th riot. Attorney General nominee Merrick Garland.
I think this was the most heinous attack on the democratic processes that I've ever seen, and one that I never expected to see in my lifetime.
The Department of Justice is already prosecuting hundreds for their role in the riot. Garland was asked if he would consider a broader definition of people to prosecute, a definition that could potentially include former President Trump. Democratic Senator Sheldon Whitehouse.
That you will not rule out investigation of funders, organizers, ringleaders, or aiders and abettors who were not present in the Capitol on January 6th.
Attorney General nominee Merrick Garland.
We begin with the people on the ground and we work our way up to those who are involved and further involved. And we will pursue these leads wherever they take us.
That's
the job of a prosecution.
An experienced U.S. judge, Garland was nominated in 2016 by then President Barack Obama to fill a vacancy on the U.S. Supreme Court. Senate Republicans held up his nomination, citing the upcoming 2016 presidential election. Now Garland is poised to take over for Trump's attorneys general, who drew Democrats' anger for the way they handled that post. Democratic Senator Dick Durbin.
Under Attorney General Sessions and his successor Bill Barr, the Justice Department literally became an arm of the White House, committed to advancing the interest of President Trump, his family, and his political allies.
But Republicans have also argued that was a problem under the Obama administration as well. Republican Senator Ted Cruz.
The Department of Justice was politicized and weaponized in a way that was directly contrary to over a century of tradition of the Department of Justice of being apolitical and not a partisan tool to target your opponents.
Garland told senators he does not view the job as a political position. Attorney General nominee Merrick Garland.
I am not the president's lawyer. I am the United States lawyer. And I will do everything in my power, which I believe is considerable, to fend off any effort by anyone to make prosecutions or investigations partisan or political in any way.
The Senate is likely to confirm Garland by early next week. Catherine Gibson, VOA News, Washington.
VOA Asia Facebook is the choice of millions to see and read the latest stories about Asia and the United States. Follow us on VOA Asia Facebook. VOA Asia is also on Twitter and YouTube. Subscribe to all of our platforms for free. See, hear, read, and share all the latest from VOA Asia anytime. VOA Asia is your trusted source for news, information, and great features.
This news from VOA Asia, the Philippines will let thousands of its healthcare workers, mostly nurses, take up jobs in Britain and Germany if those two countries agree to donate much-needed coronavirus vaccines. All of the big stories come your way throughout the day on VOA Asia Twitter and Facebook. This is VOA Asia. This is Business Scene. I'm Ira Melman. Bright, noisy arcades are still a neighborhood fixture in Japan, but they've been disappearing as business is hit by virus-restricted opening hours. Since the beginning of January, Japan has been under a state of emergency to bring down surging virus cases. This has forced businesses to close early, with possible fines for those that refuse. Unfortunately, arcades do not receive government cash as compensation for lost income like bars and restaurants do. Yasushi Fukamachi, the manager of Mikado Game Arcade, spoke about the financial hit the arcade has taken.
Usually, after 6 p.m. until midnight is the most profitable time. Now we have to close at 8 p.m., which means we lose the four most profitable hours. We close at 8 p.m., customers start leaving already around 7 p.m., which is when the place usually starts to fill up. The income has gone down more than half. This is horrible.
Arcades have become a rarity in many other countries, but they have held a place in urban Japan as an alternative to small living spaces and a meeting point for dedicated gaming. However, in recent years, smaller and independent gaming centers were closing down at a rapid rate. The number of arcades in Japan has plummeted from 22,000 in 1989 to just 4,000 in 2019. Atsushi Nakanishi, a frequent arcade customer, explains why he still enjoys going.
Now we can play games online at home, but one of the pleasures of coming to an arcade is to be able to strike up a conversation, to know what state of mind others are playing in.
Some arcades have found new ways to stay afloat by hosting live streams on YouTube as a way to reach gamers. Malaysia's lockdown has lowered the domestic demand for durians, leaving traders to rely on China's appetite for the world's smelliest fruit. The king of fruits is grown across tropical Southeast Asia and is praised by fans for its bittersweet flavors and creamy texture. However, critics describe the fruit's odor as rotting garbage and it's banned from several hotels and on public transportation. The first lockdown in Malaysia did not do too much damage, but reimposed measures to slow the spread of the virus have hammered the durian industry. Tan Susian, The managing director of Top Fruit stressed the importance of exports.
True. If there's no exports or when there's any stop of the export, I think it will collapse the whole industry. Definitely as per today and as per future to come. Because Malaysian, we don't eat, these are premium foods.
The trade in durians has exploded over the past decade, largely driven by China's growing appetite, with prices of the once cheap fruit selling for 60 ringgit, or 14 U.S. dollars or more a kilo. For Business Scene, I'm Ira Melman. Happening in Asia, Thailand will start vaccinating priority groups, including health workers, against COVID-19 by the end of this week, according to its prime minister, ahead of the arrival of the country's first coronavirus vaccines. Stay with us for the latest news from and about Asia at voanews.com and all of our digital platforms. Damage to a fan blade on an engine that failed on a United Airlines Boeing 777 flight is consistent with metal fatigue. That's based on a preliminary assessment by the chairman of the U.S. Air Accident Investigator. Reuters' Emily Wither reports.
A preliminary assessment has found signs of metal fatigue on the engine that failed on a United Airlines Boeing 777 flight at the weekend.
Hear it?
Yeah.
The engine failed with a loud bang 4 minutes after takeoff from Denver. The National Transport Safety Board have been looking at damage to a fan blade. The chairman of the U.S. Air Accident Investigator told reporters it remains unclear whether the incident is consistent with an engine failure on a different Hawaiian-bound United flight in February 2018. That failure was attributed to a fatigue fracture in a fan blade. The engine that failed shed parts over a Denver suburb. The Pratt & Whitney engine, the PW4000, is used on 128 planes, or less than 10% of the global fleet. In another incident on Japan Airlines in December 2020, the country's Transport Safety Board reported it found two damaged fan blades, one with a metal fatigue crack on the same engine. That investigation is ongoing. The focus is more on engine maker Pratt, and analysts expect little financial impact on Boeing. But the PW4000 issues are a fresh headache for the plane maker, which saw its flagship 737 MAX grounded for nearly 2 years after two deadly crashes.
That was Emily Withers. We continue on VOA Asia. NASA scientists have unveiled first-of-a-kind home movies of last week's Daredevil Mars rover landing, vividly showing its supersonic parachute inflation over the red planet and a rocket-powered hovercraft lowering the science lab on wheels to the surface. Brian Wood reports.
NASA scientists on Monday released the first sights and sounds ever recorded on Mars, a light gust of wind on the planet's surface. Vivid footage showed the rover Perseverance deploying its red and white supersonic parachute by way of a rocket-powered hovercraft and lowering its wheels to the ground in a plume of dust and smoke.
Ready to begin seeking the sands of past life.
The project's lead engineer described watching the most advanced rover ever developed take its place on Mars.
It gives me goosebumps every time I see it. Just amazing. I hope everybody kept their hands and arms inside the vehicle at all times while it was in motion.
So we're actually beginning to...
The footage was captured last Thursday from cameras mounted at different angles of the Perseverance landing craft as it passed through the planet's thin atmosphere to gently touch down inside a basin called the Jezero crater. The six-wheeled vehicle sailed through space for almost 7 months. The video montage was presented to reporters 4 days after the historic landing. The chief imaging scientist behind the project explains what's presented.
This is it. This is Mars. We're here in our place that we're going to be exploring over the next months and coming years.
Scientists hope to extract samples from Martian rock for future analysis back on Earth, the first such specimens ever collected by humankind from another planet.
That was Reuters' Brian Wood. This is VOA Asia. Researchers are studying Facebook messages for clues that they could help reveal mental illness earlier. Tina Trin reports.
When it comes to social media, it seems the medium is the message.
at least for child psychiatrist Michael Bierbaum.
Essentially, what we wanted to do here is understand what mental illness looks like on the pages of social media.
Bierbaum recently led a study in the U.S. that examined the Facebook messages of 223 young adults for possible clues pointing to mental illness.
Our ultimate goal is earlier identification, earlier engagement, and a better understanding of risk factors that might put someone at greater risk of being hospitalized.
Studying over 3.4 million messages sent in the 18 months prior to the actual hospitalization of some of the participants, a few patterns emerged.
Individuals with psychiatric disorders were more likely to use swear words. There were differences in the amount of punctuation that they were using. There were differences in the use of negative emotion words.
The use of perception words like hear, see, and feel was also more likely.
Often perception is what goes awry in individuals with schizophrenia. They hear things that other people don't hear, or see and feel things that other people don't see and feel.
Christian Herrera-Gathon, who was diagnosed as bipolar, uses social media in a way that doesn't sound all that unusual.
Social media has become an easier way for me to just, like, get what I need to get off my chest.
Bierbaum says Facebook messages on their own can't predict mental illness, but they do provide important contextual information. Tina Trin, VOA News, New York.
We continue. Minari, a film by Korean-American filmmaker Lee Isaac Chung, tells the story of a young Korean immigrant family chasing the American dream. Like the Korean herb, Minari, known for its adaptability to a variety of climates and conditions, the young Korean family is determined to put down roots in the American rural South. VOA's Penelope Pulu has the story.
Determined to carve out a life as a farmer, Jacob, played by Stephen Hyung, buys a patch of land in the Ozarks and moves his family there. Though disillusioned with her husband's decision, Monica, played by Yeri Han, tries to make the Arkansas farm home. While she and her husband Jacob work at the chicken factory, Jacob struggles to grow the farm.
We need to find water somewhere. If that soil ain't wet, we're gonna lose the crop.
Monica sends for her mother in South Korea, Sunya, played by Yung Yeon Jung, to come and help with the kids, Ann and David. Newcomer Alan Kim plays David, a boy who has a heart condition.
Strong boy. She's trying to help them as a babysitter while they are gone for work. That was just all mother do universally, Greek or Korean or American. I think it's just a universal. That's why I think people like this movie.
Filmmaker Chung, a son of Korean immigrants, says Minari is loosely based on his intimate childhood memories, but speaks to the immigrant experience as a whole.
We have all sorts of people coming up to us and saying, hey, I see my story in your story. For me, the priority in this film was to reclaim a sense of humanity, if that makes sense, for all these ideas, who immigrants are, or who people from the South are, or who people of faith are like.
Beautiful family. Glad you're here.
During a panel conversation, the filmmaker expressed hope that Minari will also help South Koreans to form a better understanding about Korean Americans.
Because there's this assumption that the people who went to the U.S., one, they left Korea, and secondly, that a lot of them went, they found a lot of success. So life there was quite easy, and maybe the ones that did go to America feel like in Korea, they don't understand the sort of suffering we went through over here and all these different things.
Minari is already generating Oscar buzz. Actress Jung jokingly blames Bong Joon-ho, the director of last year's Oscar-winning picture, Parasite, for these heightened expectations.
We were teasing in Korea because of you. Everybody is expecting me to be some kind of nomination or something like that. But truly, myself, I never even dreamt about me being on that Oscar or whatever.
Awards aside, Minari tells the life of one Asian American family, but also the story of America and the many immigrants who have shaped it. Penelope Pulu, VOA News, Washington.
I'm Ira Melman in Washington. Enjoy the day.